ഗോവിന്ദ യോഗീന്ദ്രമഥാസ്യ ശിഷ്യം ശ്രീശങ്കരാചാര്യമഥാസ്യ പദ്മപാദം ച ഹസ്താമലകം ച ശിഷ്യം തന്തോടകം വാർത്തികകാരമന്യാന് അസ്മദ്ഗുരൂന് സന്തതമാനതോസ്മി ശ്രുതിസ്മൃതിപുരാണാനാം ആലയം കരുണാലയം നമാമി ഭഗവത്പാദം ശങ്കരം ലോകശങ്കരം ശങ്കരം ശങ്കരാചാര്യം കേശവം ബാദരായണം സൂത്രഭാഷ്യകൃതൗ വന്ദേ ഭഗവന്തൗ പുനഃ പുനഃ ഈശ്വരോ ഗുരുരാത്മേതി മൂർത്തിഭേദവിഭാഗിനേ വ്യോമവദ്വ്യാപ്തദേഹായ ദക്ഷിണാമൂർത്തയേ നമഃ. ദിസ് ആർ സെഡ് ഫോർ ദി ക്ലാസ്. നൈസ്. നാരായണ ഇറ്റ് സെഡ് നാരായണ. ഓം ഗണാനാം സ്വാ ഗണപതി ഹവാമഹേ കവി കവീനാമുപമസ്തവസ്തം ജ്യേഷ്ഠരാജം ബ്രഹ്മണാം ബ്രഹ്മണസ്കര ശ്രീമഹാഗണാധിപതയേ നമഃ. സദാശിവസമാരംഭാം ശങ്കരാചാര്യമധ്യമാം അസ്മദാചാര്യപര്യന്താം വന്ദേ ഗുരു പരമ്പരാം. അഥാതോ ബ്രഹ്മജിജ്ഞാസാ. So I will give a small recap of the Khyati, Khyati Prakaranam. So let us begin with Anyatha Khyati, the first one. So Anyatha means Anyatra Ityartha. Khyati means erroneous perception. So the Rajata, the silver that you see, it is real. The Shukti also is real. Silver is also real. How it can be real? Yeah, you are seeing the silver of the marketplace. So silver of the marketplace is real only. So you are seeing the silver of the marketplace in the shell of the beach. So what is the problem? Both are real. But then how can you see the silver of the marketplace in the beach? Due to some defect of the eye. This is how so they say, the Anyatha Khyativadis, eyes defect. And then Shankara started with Anyatha Khyati, Anyatra Anyadharma Adhyasa Iti Vadanti. So some of the Acharyas, they have taken this idea a little further by saying that the universe consists of different objects, like Newton's model of the universe. The universe has different objects, that is given. Because Dvaitas, you know, Dvaitins, you know, they believe in the plurality of the things. The reality is plural. That is how they believe. And each object is independent of everything else. Jiva is independent of Ishvara. So this is the vision. This is how they look at it. And they say, having said this, they should stay with it like Newton. They don't stop there. They say, every object has certain elements everywhere. So that means what? On one side, every object is independent of others. Other objects. And also, certain elements of every object are found everywhere else. So that means the apanasthara jata has some vapor pressure, like vapor pressure is my word. So like vapor pressure like thing, and some elements of this apanasthara jata, market press silver, are to be found everywhere. In the entire beach also they could be found. But when the right substratum, you strike the right substratum, like a shell, so you see the rajata. And so, to this extent they go and say that some elements of the serpent are present in the rope. That is how they say. To that extent they go to support their viewpoint. Now you can understand how the people live in conceptual presence. They are held in their concepts. And they go to any extent, any logical extent, to just hold on to the concept that they want to preserve. This is anyatha khyati. Then comes atma khyati. Atma khyati means, so there the word atma is not Satchidananda atma. The kshanika vijnana is atma. The bleep-bleep consciousness is Atma. And there is nothing outside. Everything is Vijnana only. And therefore, so the Vijnana in the form of Idam is inside. Idam Vijnana is inside. And that is Kshanikam. Rajata Vijnana is anyway inside. Smriti Rupa. So Smriti Rupa they don't say. Rajata Vijnana is inside. And that is Kshanikam. Therefore, Kshanika Idam Vijnana is the substratum on which Kshanika Rajata Vijnana is superimposed. This is how they say. And so, it amounts to saying, Vijnane Vijnanasya Adhyasaha. This is pure Jnana Adhyasa, Atma Khyati. Whereas the earlier Khyati that I said, Anyatha Khyati, is pure Artha Adhyasa. Apanastha Rajatasya, Apanastha Rajata Rupasya Arthasya, Shukti Rupe Arthasya. So like that it is artha dhyasa. These are two khyatis. Then we have another khyati, akhyati. No mistake at all. There is no mistake. It is only absence of viveka. Nothing else. Otherwise everything is okay. Idam jnanam is okay. You cannot have any problem with idam jnanam. Rajata jnanam is also okay. Because rajata jnanam is a pramana siddha. It is a legitimate knowledge. It is a correct knowledge only. There is nothing incorrect about it. Because you have known rajata and it was part of your experience and now you bring it out from memory. Therefore, it originated from memory and the whole, so memory is clean. What is wrong with memory? And so whatever has come out of memory is also clean. Therefore, rajata jnanam is clean. Idam jnanam is clean. Only problem is, you should have kept them separate, viveka. So, for some reason, that viveka grahanam, means taking the two jnanas separately, is not there. And so it is only the absence of viveka, that's all. Otherwise, there is nothing like adhyasa, means dosham is not there. In jnana, they do not accept dosham. These are mimamsakas. So both jnanas are satya, only viveka is missing. So these are mimamsakas. They are called akhyativadins. Then fourth is asatkhyati. Asatkhyati means shunyavadins. So there is shukti is shunyam. And idam pratya, if shukti, if ever object is shunya, shunya means it is appearing in void. That is the meaning of shunya, shunyavada. So, shukti, when you see shukti, you are seeing shukti in void. And when you have the general idea of idam, samanya jnana, so idam, you see this. And that this is also seen in the void. And then rajatam is also seen in the void. When you see in the marketplace, then also it you are seeing in void only. So everything is shunyam. And therefore, shunya rupe idami. So, shunya rupam రజతం అధ్యస్యతే. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ శూన్య. అసతి అసత అధ్యాస. దిస్ ఈజ్ అసత్ ఖ్యాతి. బోత్ ఆర్ అసత్. అండ్ దెన్ అనిర్వచనీయ ఖ్యాతి ఈజ్ శంకరాస్ థింగ్. ఇట్ ఇట్ క్లోజ్లీ రిజంబుల్స్ హైసెన్బర్గ్స్ అన్సర్టెంటీ ప్రిన్సిపల్. బిఫోర్ హైసెన్బర్గ్ కేమ్ ఇన్ టు సీన్ ది ప్రాపర్టీస్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాటర్, the properties of molecules, atoms, small particles like neutrons, etc., everything was considered to be definite. An electron has a definite mass with a definite velocity. Mass and velocity, they define a particle, because these particles, they do not sit at one place, they are always on the move. That's why if it is just sitting at one place, really sitting, not moving, then mass alone would do. Mass and the volume, etc., would do. But these things, they don't sit at any place. They are always on the move, forever on the move. Therefore, now you cannot talk of the particle only in terms of mass and volume. You have to bring the velocity also into account, because they are ever on the move. So mass, velocity, these are generally considered two basic characteristics of a particle in defining the nature of the particle. So Heisenberg says, if you find mass accurately, velocity will go off. And if you find velocity accurately, mass will go off. You cannot find both of them accurately. As you increase the accuracy in mass, the accuracy of velocity comes down, and vice versa. And the combined inaccuracy, it follows a law. It is proportional to some constant. It is proportional to some H is the constant which comes out of proportionality. It is proportional to something, and that constant is H. So like that it goes. Very basic thing. But the consequences of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle in quantum physics were far-reaching. So till then, all the scientists felt that they can define the universe in its basic structure. Now they understood that they cannot define the universe. So when you say you cannot define the particle clearly, it means you give up your claim to define or to understand the universe. That is very, very clearly felt by the scientists in quantum physics. That is the first time when the anirvachaniyata, uncertainty, exact translation, anirvachaniyata, certain means nirvachanam, anirvachaniyata and uncertainty, there is a coincidence. That's why the Vedantins do not accept Big Bang theory and all that for creation. So the universe did not arise of Big Bang. It did not arise because of Big Bang. It arises because of a mistake. So there is a huge difference, you know, to say that it arises out of Big Bang and to say that it arises out of a mistake. You see the universe by mistake. That is how it is. So this is some of the ideas about it. Having said all this, so anirvachaniya khyati means you see it by mistake. Adhyasa is a mistake, you know. So then what is the nature of this mistake? Khyati is the mistake. Erroneous perception. So you see what you see by mistake. Like you stand before a mirror, it serves our purpose, because we are identified with the body, and so we want to decorate the body, so stand before the mirror, it serves that purpose, that worldly purpose. But what you see there is not seen because it is there. It is seen because of a mistake. But we are committed to this mistake. We are committing it so often, so much, that we start taking it as a non-mistake now. So how the mistake happened there? As I told any number of times, the sense organ, that is the eyesight and the mind, they together play a trick and make you see what you see. So we see the world by mistake. We see everything by mistake. We see necklace by mistake. I don't know whether you agree with me to the extent I say that. So you see necklace by mistake, because What you see is not there. What is there, you don't see. At least completely. You may see gold also, to some extent. But what you see, you do not... What is there, you do not see completely. You see something more or something less. Somehow you have to add or subtract something. What is, just what is, you don't see. And what you see, it doesn't always correspond with what is. So the necklace is the name given to a shape. And shape is in the mind. Nama Rupa, you know. Rupa is in the mind. Nama is in the mouth. Vacharambhanam, Vagindriya begins the Nama. Vikaro Namadhyam, whatever. So what is gold. But we are accustomed to see necklace in it. This is the mistake. And now, what is the nature of the mistake you want to know? So, you cannot define mistake in clear terms. This is how the mistake is. Like that, if you try to define it, it will defy us. It won't allow to be defined. So, you can only say that the mistake is because we experience it. But then that doesn't mean the mistake is it is real. Now mistake is the reality. You cannot say that. Because once you know better, put some light on it and know better, the mistake is not. Therefore, the mistake you cannot say, it is a sat. You cannot put into the category of sat. Because if it is put into the category of sat, then nahi badhyata, it cannot be negated. Then okay, let us put it in the category of asat, non-existent. You cannot do that also. Because if you say mistake is asat, then why do you see rajatam at all? So we experience the mistake. It is there. So asat chet na pratiyeta. This rajatam. Rajatam, which is a product of mistake, so don't bother about mistake, talk about rajatam. So this rajata, silver, which is a product of a mistake, now what is it? Is it real? You cannot say, because it gets negated soon. Then is it unreal? Unreal in the sense non-existent, tucham, you cannot say. Non-existent, not unreal, non-existent is a better word. So more clear. Is it that? You cannot say that. Because it is seen. Na pratiyeta. Asachet. Na pratiyeta. Sachet. Are you following those sentences in Sanskrit? Sachet. Satchet. Na badhyeta. Asachet. Na pratiyeta. Therefore, sadasat is asambhavam. It is not possible. Because sat excludes asat. The moment you said sat, asat is excluded. Therefore, you cannot bring asat while keeping sat. Therefore, there cannot be any category like sadasat. Therefore, satvenava, asatvenava, sadasatvenava, nirvaktum ashakyam. It is anirvachaniyam. Therefore, leave it as uncertain. And the spirit of this uncertainty also I told you. It is very practical. Though it is presented as uncertain, it is very practical. I tell you how. Suppose you come across an experience. Let us take the example of an unhappy experience, unpleasant experience. Now the experience itself, as it happened, as it arises in the world of objects, so it arises outside. The experience begins. As it begins, it is not having this character or this attribute of unpleasantness in it. It is the unpleasantness that we add to it. So, as I receive that experience, as I perceive it, so as I experience it, whatever has happened, so as I understand it or as I take it in, I name it. And I define it as unpleasant. So this is an unpleasant experience. I define it like that. and I categorize it like that. Because this is the habit of the mind. The mind has certain norms. So this kind of an experience is unpleasant. And this kind of experience is pleasant. Such a norm it has fixed already. And therefore it looks at every experience based on that yardstick or that norm. And this yardstick is not sacrosanct. It changes from time to time, from situation to situation. So this is not sacrosanct yardstick. So we should know that. And so we should dislodge this kind of situation from the mind. Therefore, what I do is, when a thing happens, I do not define it. I do not call it anything. I do not categorize it, saying it is unpleasant. I do not categorize. So somebody says something to me. So it is possible that what is said is not very appropriate, and therefore now I have a right to become hurt or some such thing. That is how we understand it normally. But then what I do is, I do not put it in that category. I do not call it a hurt or ninda stuti, that is what Krishna says. So I do not put any name to it. I do not call it a hurt or appropriate or inappropriate. I don't give any name to that. Just leave it as such. Then what happens is, initially when you practice this, the mind gets bewildered. Because it is accustomed to nirvachana. Now you are refusing to nirvachana. That means you are going into an anirvachaniya state. So you refuse to define any situation in any way. I see a flower. I just don't define it in any way. I won't say, oh, how beautiful it is. I won't say. I never say that. Just. In fact, I don't notice it in the first place. Now I notice it. Having noticed, oh, this is a very beautiful flower, I won't say that. Just, I don't even ignore it. Please don't think that I'm ignoring it. I'm not ignoring it. I am not defining it, I am not putting it into any category. I just leave it anirvachaniya. I leave it. So what happens initially, the mind gets bewildered. And then it settles down. And now you are in shanti, you are not disturbed. Because when you say, oh, how beautiful the flower is, it's a disturbance. The opposite will come later. So this is the message. Anirvachaniyata vada. So Shankara introduces it in Brahma Sutra Bhashya. And then there is a great author called Sriharsha. You must have heard the name Khandana Khanda Khadya. So, khandana means refuting. Khandakhadyam is a kind of a crystallized sugar. That hard sugar will be there, you know. If you put it in the mouth for half an hour, it will be sitting there and you will feel sweet. So that is khandakhadyam. That crystallized sugar, hard sugar. Khandana is refuting. This khandana khandakhadyakara, he doesn't have anything to say from his side. Because from his side it is all anirvachaniya. But if anybody comes forth and says anything definite, he will condemn it. He will refute it. This is called khandana. And the book is like that. It's a very tough book of logic, Vedantic logic. And having refuted every possible definition of the universe, Panchabhutas, Prithivi, somebody wants to define Prithivi, Gandhavati, Prithivi, he refutes it. Then Agnihi, Vayuhu, Swarupa, Arupa, Sparshavan, Vayuhu. Vayu is the element which doesn't have a form, yet which has the sense of touch. Like that somebody defines it, a Tarkika defines it. For a Tarkika, he has to define everything. Otherwise he cannot have, he will have some stomach pain, etc. So he has to define everything. He has to put everything in a category. Because this is called doctrine of pure reason. So apply pure reason and put everything in its place. Now I am comfortable and I can go ahead. The world is really understood and everything is put in its place. That is supposed to be a great intellectual achievement. They look at it like that. That is the purushartha for them. So, and therefore they define everything. and Khandana Khanda Khadyakara comes and then refutes the definition. He won't offer any definition. He just leaves it like that. Why to define Vayu? Why to define Prithivi? Just it is the Brahman which is appearing as so many things. And what you see is not real in any case. Why should we bother about defining? So this way, this Anirvachaniyata as a principle of Vedanta, it goes deeper and deeper into the psyche of the Mahatmas. That's why sadhushvapicha papeshu samabuddhir vishishyate. So they just refuse to categorize anything. Because what you see, what you experience is just not real. So this is how it goes. Then this principle is there in Veda also, like Nasadiya Suktam of the Rigveda, and even in Kathopanishad, one valli ends ka ittha veda yatrasaha. So mrityur yasyopasechanam, so yasya brahmacha kshatrancha ubhe bhavata odanaha, mrityur yasyopasechanam ka ittha veda yatrasaha. Like that, there the valli ends. I remember so. It doesn't give an answer to that question. Just leaves it there. So this kind of an openness, not trying to define a thing, because by defining it, you are limiting it. And you are not only limiting it, you are limiting it to the sphere of your mentality or your intellect. So why to do that? Unnecessary, you know. So this is the overall spirit of Anirvachaniyata Vada. So the khyati, it ends in what is called Anirvachaniya Khyati. So Rajatam, you cannot define it. The blessed thing, it defies all attempts to define it. So just leave it like that. That is how it is. Tathacha lokenubhavaha shuktikahi rajatavat avabhasata, all that we have seen. So, aparokshatvacca pratyagatma prasiddhehe. So, now we can say the next. Nachayamasti niyamaha.
Nachayamasti niyamaha.
Purovasthite eva.
Purovasthite eva.
Vishaye. Vishayantaram.
Vishayantaram.
Adhyasitavyamiti.
Adhyasitavyamiti.
So, this niyama, this kind of rule, that cannot be violated, that is called niyama. Niyama means a rule that cannot be violated. The vyapti that was told earlier by the Puravapakshi, that means yatra indriya sanyuktatmam vishayatmam tatraiva adhyasaha. Where there is the object is appreciated, is perceived by the sense organs, and also the object is it is an object of perception, and it comes into contact with the sense organ. Two conditions, indriya sanyuktatvam and vishayatvam. So both must be there. Then only adhyasa is possible. Whereas in the case of atma, anatma, adhyasa, which is the main thing, the superimposition of the atma on anatma and vice versa, in this, anatma is vishaya, is an object, you know, body is anatma. And also indriya sanyukta, it comes into contact with the sense organ. Eyes, when you open the eyes, but more important than eyes, the sense of touch. The body is recognized more by the sense of touch. Suppose, while I am sitting here and I am looking at you, I am conscious of the sense of touch in the legs, etc. Suppose, if the legs are warm, then I feel it. If they are cold, I feel it, even while looking at you. Therefore, the body is an object of perception through the organ of sense of touch. Therefore, indriya sanyuktatvam, vishayatvam, it is an object that way. And so, these conditions are there, these conditions are satisfied by the body, but they are not satisfied by atma. Therefore, adhishthana and aropyamana, both must satisfy that basic condition. Then only there can be adhyasa. This was the niyama. That niyama, vyapti jnanam is niyamaha. That vyapti jnanam is not acceptable. Nachayamasti niyamaha. So this kind of niyama is not acceptable. So, అపరోక్ష అధ్యాస అధిష్టానత్వస్య ఇంద్రియ సంయుక్తతయా గ్రాహ్యత్వం వ్యాపకం. సో దట్ నియమ ఇంద్రియ సంయుక్తతయా గ్రాహ్యత్వం. సో ఇట్ మస్ట్ బి ఎన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ దట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ టు కాంటాక్ట్ విత్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ దెన్ ఓన్లీ ఇట్ కెన్ బికమ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది అధ్యాస. దట్ ఈస్ ది నియమ. దెర్ ఈస్ నో సచ్ నియమ. అండ్ because in the case of atma anatma adhyasa that nema doesn't apply. Therefore now you have to show, you cannot say in atma anatma adhyasa that doesn't apply, that you cannot say that, because that is the thing to be proved, that is the thing that you have to establish, you know. Therefore I cannot give witness to myself like that. I have to bring some other person and he has to speak on my behalf, then it becomes a witness. Suppose I say, no, I did not commit any crime, like that I say, that is not considered as a witness. So drishtanta you have to give. So Shankara gives a drishtanta. He says, first he says, puraha avasthite vishaye eva vishayantaram adhyasitavyam iti niyamaha nasti. So right in front the object is there, then only another object is superimposed on it. That kind of a niyama, it is not there. You show illustration for it. Once you show illustration and negate that niyama, then you can talk of atma anatma adhyasa also. He says the illustration. So apratyakshepi hi akashe valaha kalamalinatadi ajyavasyanti. Akasha is there. Akasha, now we are trying to understand the adhyasa of anatma on atma, and for that illustration. So akasha is there. This akasha, is it pratyaksha? No, akasha is not pratyaksha. You should, I mentioned it quite a few times earlier, but now I am saying it again. Akasha, space, is not pratyaksha. Means it is not indriya sanyukta. That is the meaning of pratyaksha. Because, for example, you take the eyesight. You cannot see akasha. What you see is the walls all around. And infer akasha. This is Tarkika's viewpoint. That akasha is known. We know akasha. We sense akasha. Because when I get up, I walk with confidence. Because I sense akasha. So whereas, if I am in a dark room, I cannot walk with confidence. Because I walk very carefully, that I may bump into something, you know. So that means in a dark room I am unable to sense akasha, whereas now I can sense akasha. So how it is done? So tarkikas say that the mind infers akasha. It sees the walls and it doesn't see anything. So a few things are put together and akasha is inferred. It is not seen, but it is inferred. What you see is the diffused light, not akasha. That also you have to keep in mind. So what you see in between the walls, you see something, that is light, not akasha. Anyway, so akasha cannot be seen. It is inferred according to tarkikas. Then there is a, yesterday I was saying this in class, there is a problem there. Akasha is a mental category. It is a category of the mind. When you see three-dimensional depth, that you see not because the outside made you to see it, but because the mind is accustomed to see it. Because when you see an object, the object falls on the retina, and that is a two-dimensional figure, not a three-dimensional object. So out, you start, the sense organ provides a two-dimensional picture, and that picture is converted into optical sensations. And so you cannot talk of optical sensations as two-dimensional or three-dimensional. You can only say they are optical sensations derived from a two-dimensional picture that fell on the retina. And also not only it is two-dimensional, it falls in the opposite direction. Okay? They have done an experiment. What they did, they made a glasses, a spectacle, which shows figures in the opposite direction. You can have such lenses, you know. These lenses, they don't reverse the figure. But there are lenses which just reverse the figure. And ask this person, he is the subject of experiment. So he is asked to put it. Now what happens, first day he sees everything upside down. But next day onwards he sees it okay. Kya baat hai. That means now mind has already reorganized itself. So what are you talking? So the three-dimensional situation, it is the mind's creation, the knowledge that you, it is ayam ghataha, this is the part. It is not just a single homogeneous knowledge, it is not. It is a synthesized knowledge. So the sense organs contribute something together with the outside, that means the contact contributes something, and the mind adds its own masala and then makes, synthesizes and gives you a knowledge. Therefore, there is nothing sacrosanct about that knowledge, because it is a combination of a few things. Therefore, the depth and the upside downness or down upsideness, whatever you call it. So this must be like this. If it is a person, the legs must be down and head must be up. So that kind of the right direction thing there. All this is contributed by the mind. It is not the contribution of the eye lens. Eye lens just reverses the thing. And the depth I cannot provide. This is the reason why you should not show mirror to the child. Because the child is yet to develop the mental faculty. The mind is yet growing. So the mind has to learn language. The mind has to learn how to think. The potential is there. And also the mind has to learn putting a few things in place. Like depth it has to provide. The space, the mental space. This is called chittakasha. The mental space has to be taken care of. And so the depth, three-dimensional nature of the figure has to be taken care of. All these things will take time for the child to understand. Therefore, the child gets the same sensations as you and I get, but it doesn't see the same world. It sees a booming and buzzing world, like that it is described. Means we just can't appreciate what kind of the world the child sees. It must be some kind of a funny world. It is a booming and buzzing world, like that they describe. So the idea is, space is a mental category, and mind cannot see its own category that way. Therefore, there is a level higher than the mind which has to see a thing that is there in the mind. This is called Sakshi. Therefore, Vedantins and even Immanuel Kant, they say, the Akasha is known to that Sakshi, not to the mind. But Tarkikas cannot come up to that point, because Tarkikas are stuck at the world level, thinking that the world is real. What they see is real. And what they see is entirely outside. It is all real. When a person is stuck at that level, how can he raise above the mental experience level? He has to transcend the mental experience and then something else is understood. Therefore, no surprise that Tarkikas cannot see it, but Vedantins see it. So Akasha is not Pratyaksham, even from the point of view of Tarkikas. But Apratyakshepe Akashe, Akasha is not Pratyaksha, it is not before us, right in front it is not. In that sense it is not like a idam. But in Akasha there is Adhyasa. What is the Adhyasa? Tala Malinatadi Adhyavasyanti. So Balaha means children, it is not children. Avivekinaha, it's Arthaha. So not children. Viveka, people who don't have Viveka, what is the absence of Viveka? What do you mean by absence of Viveka? You see something and assume that something is right. That is the Aviveka. So, they superimpose, Adhyasa they do, on Akasha. How? Tala. Akasha is like a dome. That is the Tala, surface. Surfaceness is superimposed on Akasha. When you look up, it looks like a dome. And Balahavan Shankara says, he could also mean that in childhood, I used to feel that there is a dome above there. In fact, there are some descriptions in stories, the way Alice in Wonderland, that kind of stories. So this child releases an arrow, and this arrow pierces that membrane and goes out. That kind of, in storytelling it could be there. Children's story. So you can say Balaha means children. Or even elders make that mistake, then avivekinaha, tala. Then malinata adi. Malinata means impurity, means pollution, space pollution. There can never be any space pollution. There can only be atmospheric pollution, not space pollution. You pollute the atmosphere, the gases all around, but not space. Space is not polluted. But somehow they talk of all this. So Balaha means avivekinaha, Ratna Prabhakara. And so adhyasyanti. So now you got the illustration. So the vyapti is negated. So one of them, Atma need not be indriya sanyukta. It need not be an object of perception or conception, yet it can serve as a substratum for superimposition. So adhyasa can happen. Evam aviruddhaha anatmanyapi anatma adhyasaha. So I was saying in the other class that this is sambhavana bhashya. Means sambhavana means possible. Adhyasa is possible. It is indeed possible in the case of Atman also. So aviruddhaha means sambhavitaha. It is possible. It is understood as possible. In the case of Atma also, pratyagatmanyati. Pratyagatmanyati. Not on a pseudo-atma. For example, the pseudo-atma adhyasa is not a problem. I look at myself. I identify with the body. So this body identified person is the thing, is the adhisthanam, on which something is superimposed. So the body identified person, he considers himself to be white or black. So the whiteness or the blackness, and based on that, some social conditioning will be there. That also superimposed on that. Here, the body identified person is available with the perception because you see the body and the mind is there and the social conditioning is available in the society as we interact. Therefore that is superimposed on this. That kind of thing is okay, but that is not what we are talking about. We are talking of pratyagatmani, the innermost reality of the individual. That means Brahma. Pratyagatmani is Brahma. So it is not jiva. Pratyagatmani is not jiva. So on the pratyagatmani, anatma adhyasa is possible. The best illustration is akasha. Akasha comes very close to the truth, close to the atma, because akasha is asanga. It is not contaminated by anything that it contains. It is sarvavyapi. It pervades everything that it contains. It is partless. There are no parts in it. And yet, it is subject to mistake. Therefore, Atma is also like that. Pure Atma, Pratyagatmani.
So, Swamiji, you can say that for Adhyasa, the rule is that it has to be evident, not the Indian
say? It must be evident, yeah.
It has to be evident.
So, this is what I was saying in the last class. Aham dukhi. This is our experience. Just I am reminding. Aham dukhi is our experience. Therefore, Atma ananda swarupaha, we don't know. Aham ajnaha, I am ignorant. That is our experience. Therefore, Atma chinmatram, chit swarupa, we don't know. But aham nasmi, that is not there. Aham asmi is our experience. That means this Sat aspect of Atma is very much there as part of our experience. Therefore, if Atma, even the Sat aspect also is not known, then there can be no Adhyasa. Like in darkness you don't have adhyasa. If chit and ananda are also known, then there is no adhyasa. You have crossed adhyasa. Only partly known, generally known, specifically unknown. Like even idam rajatam. Shukti is partly known, generally known. Idamakara jnanam is there. But the shukti akara jnana is not there. Knowledge in the form of shukti is not there. Knowledge in the form of idam is there. So, idam yam shuktihi. So, this is the shukti. That is the total knowledge. Out of the total knowledge, a part is evident. And the other part is hidden. Then only mistake happens. Same is the case with atma also. Ahamasmi. That is the basis for all adhyasa. That's why in classes also we say that only. When you wake up, the first thing is ahamasmi. I am. That is atma. Atma means not ultimate atma. Aham is also an adhyasa. Adhyasita rupameva. But still, the atma's glory is captured in that vritti, aham vritti. And then the adhyasa happens with reference to chit and ananda. Aham ajnaha. Aham dukhi. This is the twofold adhyasa. Aham nasmi. That kind of adhyasa can never be there. Pratyagatmanyapi. So, apishabdaha means pratyagatmanyapi. On pratyagatma also there can be superimposition. Means what? Like there is superimposition on the objects that are visible to the eye, in the same way adhyasa is possible on pratyagatma also. So pratyagatmanyapi anatma adhyasaha, it is sambhavitaha, aviruddhaha. It is not impossible. It is indeed possible. Very nice. So that is the conclusion of sambhavana bhashya. Then comes what is called pramana bhashya. So we will say that. You will know why it is called pramana bhashya. As we go a little deeper, you will know it is all about pramana.
Beginning was
lakshana bhashya. Asambhavana is the parupaksha. Then lakshana bhashya. Even parupaksha also is called bhashya only. Yeah. Asambhavana, parupaksha bhashya, lakshana bhashya. Then sambhavana bhashya. Now we are coming to pramana bhashya. So, tametam evam lakshanam adhyasam panditaha avidyeti manyante. Tam etam adhyasam. So, that this adhyasa means what? Tam etam evam lakshanam. That this adhyasa. So, that means which is tried to be negated by the Parupakshi, but established by the Siddhanti. Then this, that is proved to be possible very much by the Siddhanti. Evam lakshanam. So anirvachaniyata rupam. So that this evam lakshana adhyasa. This is how we handle every pronoun. किसी को छोड़ते नहीं. So every pronoun has to be explained. That is how it is done. Tam etam evam lakshanam adhyasam. Tam points out to a distant thing. That means in the beginning of adhyasa bhashya, the Parupakshi said that there cannot be any adhyasa. So, but we have proved that it can be tam etam. And now just now we have proved it is sambhavitam. Every possibility for adhyasa is established. Evan lakshanam anirvachaniyata rupam adhyasam. This adhyasam panditaha avidyeti manyante. This vakya is a source of lot of controversy. Because you see, there are two opinions. One is, there is ajnana or avidya, out of which adhyasa arises. So, there is ajnana, how we explain it is, the shukti ajnana is there. So, idam jnanam is there, iyam shuktihi, iyam idam rajatam. Instead of saying iyam shuktihi, he says idam rajatam. The iyam and idam are one and the same. It's only linga difference. So there is no mistake in the idam aspect. This is, there is no mistake there. So the point is, this is his claim, but what has to follow, that is the shuktihi, you have to say. But you cannot say that because the ajnana is there. Shukti ajnana. To say, you should know, no? If you know, you will say. You don't know, ajnana is there. Therefore, idam, iyam, this is, up to that jnana, then ajnana. There is no jnana, ajnana. And that ajnana is the cause of superimposing rajatam. Therefore, this is silver. So that silverness is the product of ignorance. Of what? Of shukti. Therefore, which is first? Ignorance is first. And which is later? Superimposition is later. So first means karana. Karana in the time scale, karana is earlier and karya is later, you know. That is how time scale works. So karanam nama purvavartitvam, like the Tarkika said. It is earlier, that is the karanam. That is, everything that is earlier cannot be karanam. But the karanam must be earlier. That is how it is, okay. So this ajnana of the shukti is the karanam. Superimposition of the rajata is the karyam. So this ajnana must be there. It is there. Mula, in the beginning it is there. That's why it is called mula ajnana. Also called mula avidya. Mula pahale wo hai. In the situation it is there. In the basis of the situation itself it is there. Then superimposition came. Another word for it is agrahanam anyatha agrahanam. Agrahanam means non-cognition of shukti is responsible for anyatha agrahanam, for the cognition of something else. So ajnanam or avidya is the cause and adhyasa is the effect. Another language is, this ajnanam which is the cause is called mula vidya, the avidya which is in the mula, as I told just now. And the adhyasa, the superimposition, is called thula vidya. You might have heard all these words, that's why I'm saying. Thula avidya. Thula means a small product. Big tree, a small twig of it is thula. Mula thula. It rhymes well. Therefore they use the word thula vidya.
What is lesha? Lesha vidya?
Lesha. Lesha vidya. Lesha means a small part. Avidya lesha, yeah, that they use in a different context, I suppose. A person is a jnani, but still he has a birth. One more birth. That means still thoda sa jnan bach gaya hai, avidya lesha. That must be the context, lesha. So here is mula vidya, thola vidya. So avidya is the cause and adhyasa is the effect. This is a tradition. But this vatyam, then there is another viewpoint. That another viewpoint is, just now you said anirvachaniya and all that. Now you are making an effort to nirvachana. So this is cause, this is effect, and making it more complex. So why do you make it so many twofold things there? Just say it's a mistake and be happy with it. No, it's a mistake. And there is an ajnana behind. This is the, I am playing the devil's advocate. So I am talking on behalf of the other side. So the Sachidanandendra Sangami, he is the modern means 18th century Mahatma who took up this thing. Earlier to him, Nagendra Bhatta, that Vyakaranacharya, who wrote elaborate texts on Vyakaranam, and so Nagendra nahi, Nagesha Bhatta, he wrote a Laghu Manjusha. Manjusha is a book written by him. In that he discusses all these things as part of Vyakaranam. So he says, there is no ajnana and all that. There is only adhyasa. Adhyasa, ajnana, all is one thing it is. There is no adhyasa. There is no ajnana. First ajnana, then adhyasa. So when you see, you don't experience ajnana. You experience only adhyasa. And so what you experience has a basis in ajnana. So this kind of a complexity we don't need. This is another viewpoint, but not accepted by many. So the tradition is that there is ajnana, and so they have their own arguments. They have ajnana, there is ajnana, and it causes adhyasa. Now, having understood this controversial situation, now you look at that sentence. This single sentence appears to support Sachidanandendra Saraswati's viewpoint. Because what Shankara says is, tam adhyasam panditaha avidyeti manyante. This adhyasa is called avidya by panditas. So now there is no distinction between avidya and adhyasa. Adhyasa is avidya ho gaya na? So the karana karya bhava is not accepted by Shankara. Like that they say. That is not the final word. This side there are 100 things to be said. So like that they say. That doesn't mean that is already established. Like that they say. They say Shankara is on our side. Because Shankara final defining thing it is. On whose side Shankara is. So Sachidananda, okay.
I have trouble understanding that there is such a thing as absolute, you know, in the ajnana and the absolute sense. Ajnana of what? We always have to ask.
I told you, ajnana of shukti. Yeah, there is no absolute ajnana. Ajnana of shukti is there in the beginning, and which caused the superimposition of svatajata. And in the sense of atma, anatma, it is the ajnana of atma. That is there, in the foundation it is there, and anatma is superimposed. So, that is not a problem. Therefore, here Shankara seems to suggest the non-difference between avidya and adhyasa, thereby making them one, as though supporting Sachidanandendra. But then, there are a few other occasions where Shankara appears to make a difference between the two. So, I cannot straight away quote those vakyas. So, how to handle this? So, I only say the tradition has this viewpoint, namely ajnana. In the basis, there is ajnana. Even that explanation also appears to be reasonable, that there is the ignorance of shukti to begin with, and that is responsible for superimposition of the rajata. So, this is the traditional viewpoint. Then if the traditional viewpoint, Ratna Prabhakara follows the tradition. If that is the traditional viewpoint, then how to handle this sentence? Not a problem. That is not a problem. So how we handle it is, tamayatam adhyasam panditaha avidya iti manyante, avidya iti manyante, avidya karya mityarthaha. Now we have handled it. Over. So, karana karyas, they are not basically different in any case. Karyam karanat ananyat. Karya effect is never different from the karana. Necklace is never different from gold. Suppose a lady has a necklace in her neck. I will say, oh, you have gold nowadays. Earlier you never had gold, now you have gold. I can say that. What is wrong in it? Just because I said, oh, you have gold, that doesn't mean so karya can be pointed out as karana. That becomes a truth only, you know. I can say that. Oh, you have a necklace now. I can say that. That is also correct. Or I can say, oh, you have gold now. Earlier you did not have, now you have. I can say this way at that time. Therefore Shankara is saying like that. He doesn't support you. Instead just saying this, he doesn't support you. Like that we adjust it. Not a problem. Anyway, Ratan Prabhakara has written some of it. That's why he said it. If I don't say, and you hear it elsewhere. So that I don't want that to happen. So then I am saying, let me say that also. Everything that comes to the mind, say it. So, tamayatam evan lakshanam adhyasam panditaha avidyeti manyante. Panditaha. Who are these panditas? You see, panditaha means that those who have understood adhyasa. Not just adhyasa of shukti rajita. That is not the point. That is only illustration. Atma anatma adhyasa. My God, these are the great people. Here the word pandita used by Shankara is exactly in the sense Sri Krishna uses the word in Gita, very beginning of the Gita. So, gatasu nagatasu shita nanu shochanti pandita. There Shankara gave the bhashyam. In the bhashyam, whatever he gave, Ratna Prabhakara gave the same thing here also. So there Shankara said the panda jnanam, atma jnanam. It's called panda. Some of the purohits are called pandas for the same reason. It came like that. So they are supposed to know. Generally they know, kada, they know more than what the pilgrims know about Ganga, about the Kapta, Karma, etc. They know. So they are supposed to know. So that's why they are called pandas. So panda is jnanam, atma jnanam. Panda asya asti, iti panditaha. Therefore he must be a person who has understood atma. Then only he will say adhyasa. Otherwise he won't say adhyasa. The Mimamsaka will never use the word adhyasa. He will say there is no adhyasa. We have seen akhyativada. So, you see, panditaha abhimanyante. Panditas, the wise people. Panditaha means not scholars really, the wise people. The wise people, they understand that this is adhyasa of anatma on atma. You see, what is the opposite of pandita? Murkha. So murkha, if a person is there, he is not eligible for atmanatma viveka and all that. He cannot do it. Atmanatma viveka, which is the hallmark of a pandita, you cannot expect that to be followed by a murkha. Murkha means a dullard. Therefore, it is suggested that a dull person who cannot come to the level of the discrimination of atma from anatma, so he may just stay with dharma. Dharmasya adhikari. He is not adhikari for this kind of study. He has to follow dharma. We come across such people. You tell him that when you say I, there is adhyasa in it. He will ask, what is adhyasa? I am, what I am, what is adhyasa in it? So when you say, no, you are superimposing body on I. I am superimposing body on I. Body, I am body. What do you say? I am superimposing body on I. So now you go and tell him adhyasa, what adhyasa, he will talk to you. Therefore, don't talk of adhyasa to them. You talk of dharma to them. So sir, you are what you are, wonderful, but you have to follow dharma. Dharma shastra you teach him. Dharmasya adhikari. Then there is a vikshipta person. Murkaha vikshiptaha. Vikshiptaha means he is not a very dull person. Therefore, if you teach him, he is likely to understand, but he has a problem. That is, he has no focus of the mind. Vikshipta. So many of the Vedanta students fall into that category. They are not Murkha category. They fall into Vikshipta category. They just don't have any focus whatsoever. Sometimes samsara, sometimes Vedanta. And now they want to hear what all they like to hear in Vedanta class. It's a big problem. So they have all kinds of ideas from samsara, all kinds of ideas from about bhogas, indriya bhoga. So general ideas, they are a few category ideas. Number one, ideas about bhoga, ideas about desire, kama and ragadvesha, similar, related things. Then ideas about dharma, so ideological commitments, etc. So all these things are there. Now come to the Vedanta class. This Vedanta, if you really go into it, it won't respect all these things. So you say, ragadvesha should not be there. No, could be there. No, should not be there. Could be there partly, could not be there partly. So this goes on like this. And then desires should be there or should not. Some desires could be there, some could not be there. So like this, this is another issue. Then ideological issues are there. So all problems. That's why these are vikshipta people. I'm not commenting against anybody. Again, you should not get disturbed by what I am saying. Because I am giving the illustration of something else. And now this itself becomes the illustration. So this is Adhyasa class, you know. Therefore I take a little license. Adhyasa gives me license. Anyway, so Vikshipta. Vikshipta means people have one leg in samsara and one leg in atmajnana. These are the Vikshipta people. So for Vikshipta people, they have to study Vedanta and all that, but they are adhikaris for yoga. They have to do yoga. So asana karo, do pranayama. For murkha people, karma. Dharma, karma. It's not that the others won't do it. Some emphasis I am talking about. Everybody will do everything. I do yoga, you do yoga, I do karma, you do karma. Not like that. So everybody will do everything, but you have to emphasize one aspect so that the particular problem which is dominant is addressed. So do yoga, then do pranayama, then do meditation. This is yoga. When you do these things, so your vikshepa will come down. When I say vikshepa will come down, I don't mean only this much, that earlier you were running here and there, now you are sitting at home. So I don't only mean that much. That is of course obvious, but in addition to that, when you do yoga, that means pranayama, the head doshan. So the impurities of the mind will go away, and slowly the raga dvesha vikshepa will go. Now you understand, you will come to know that raga dveshas are unnecessary, etc. Then the desiring attitude will disappear. Then you can really appreciate prajahat yada kaman sarvan parthamanogatan, etc. You will be able to appreciate. And then slowly, the ideological commitments, dividing the society into parts based on certain labels, etc., and certain incidental situations, etc., that also slowly dissolves. Then the mind becomes pure. Without the persons knowing it, the mind imperceptible change will happen, and the mind becomes purer and purer and lighter and lighter. The mind is a very heavy mind that we have. Very heavy mind. So it becomes lighter and lighter. Heavy mind means what? You see something, you get disturbed. That is a heavy mind. You hear something, you get disturbed. That you don't like, what you hear you don't like and you get disturbed. This is a heavy mind. So you see something and be disturbed. So very strong ragadveshas are there. Therefore when you do pranayama and asana pranayama dhyana meditation, when you do, the heaviness of the mind will go away. Halka ho jata hai. So mind becomes light. Then you have a light mind, there is more freedom, and then adhyasa etc. you will be able to really appreciate. So this is how this, when I say you, not the people sitting here, so this is how the adhikara is discussed. So, vikshiptaha. Then there is abhimana. One more thing. Pandita, you can become pandita when you cross these levels. That's why I'm saying. There is abhimana. Abhimana could be, all kinds of abhimana is there. This is clearly distinct from morkhatvam and vikshiptatvam. This is not vikshepa, this is not morkha. This is abhimana is somewhat different. Is our problem. Abhimana could be, for example, I say, I am a sannyasi. You are grahastha. So, thoda distance ko rakho. This is abhimana. Keep some distance. This is abhimana. I have to follow sannyasa dharma. I am not saying against that. What I am saying is, when I am with you, why should I assume a status to myself? As I assume a status to myself, I am keeping a distance between you and me. Suppose I just drop all status and just be pure, simple I am, then there is no distance between you and me. This is abhimana. A status is abhimana. So I sit in a chair on a higher pedestal because it is a convenient thing to do. I have to see all your faces and you have to see all my faces. That is the reason. I suppose it's so. I don't assume that just because I am sitting in a sofa while you are all sitting here, that it is indeed appropriate, what it is in the fitness of things, that is quite okay. I don't look at it that way. This is abhimana. So I gave a very benign example for abhimana. There could be more dangerous examples for abhimana also. So any kind of abhimana will come in the way. So for an abhimani cannot understand what is adhyasa. Because he is already caught in adhyasa. So So all kinds of abhimana could be there. Brahmanatva abhimana, Indianness, Americanness. Some people have a different kind of abhimana. Once, very interestingly, I was sitting by the side of a gentleman in a flight. And he is Indian. So I asked him, some discussion. I did not ask as such straight away. So as part of some small dialogue, so where do you live in India, like that I asked. So he said, I am a permanent resident. That is Abhimala. This is Abhimala. It appeared to be like that, the way he said, etc. It appeared to me that a permanent resident, that he has an Abhimana. Then this was super, further confirmed to me. Then this young lady came with that eye form, that white form. And she gave one to me and she gave one to him. She said, I am a permanent resident. So this is Abhimala. So it is partly Indian and partly American. So all kinds of Abhimana sit in our heart. And they cloud the vision. They should not be there. You can function as a permanent resident, but without having Abhimana. So this Abhimani, how to overcome it? Bhakti. Bhakti eliminates Abhimana. Because Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, Ali Vishwara. So you talk about Ishvara. Don't talk about yourself. That is Bhakti, you know. So Bhakti and Upasana, which are one and the same, they help to overcome Abhimana. So you invoke the higher, the universal person. And then your individual person will slowly dissolve. That is the altar of universal person is for that reason invoked. Not that the individual stands apart from the whole. Therefore bhakti, there is this duality, stopgap arrangement, duality is there in it. But that eliminates abhimana. Pandita means not a murkha, vikshepa-rahitaha, abhimana-rahitaha, viveki. That is panditaha. These panditas, they can appreciate adhyasa. Up to that level, they cannot appreciate adhyasa really. So panditaha, evam lakshanam adhyasam, avidyeti manyante. Very interestingly, this kind of adhyasa was talked about by Patanjali Maharshi also. He called it avidya. And what I noticed is, Shankara, when he uses the word avidya, here itself he uses avidyeti manyante. He uses certain words which will clearly indicate, he is clearly indicating to us the corresponding usage of the same word by Patanjali Maharshi. That is how it occurred to me. How do you know means, I cannot explain to you in clear terms, I cannot put the finger upon it, but the point is, this adhyasa, which is called avidya, it is called avidya by Patanjali Maharshi. He just used the word avidya in the context of adhyasa. Here is a sutram. Anitya asuchi dukkha anatmasu nitya suchi sukha atmakhyatihi avidya. This is the sutram. The word khyati also he uses. Patanjali, my God. Khyati? So Shankara, he has Patanjali Maharshi's sutram in his mind and he uses those words. So I did not meet Shankara and got confirmation that he is referring to that. This is what is called understanding the hrudayam of the author. You can understand it. You cannot explain how. You just can understand it. When you stay with it and when you understand deeper and deeper, you can know this is what Shankara is saying. Like that it occurs to you. Therefore, anitya, asuchi, dukkha, anatmasu. This sutra is there in the second pada in Yoga Darshanam. Sadhana pada has this sutra. Anitya is there. And you take it to be nitya. So nityatvam is superimposed on anitya. Earlier I used to live in, I am giving one very simple practical example. So earlier I used to live in rented homes. also moving from place to place, and now I have a permanent place. So my own permanent home I have made. So when we say this, what we mean is, Atma, I came and I will go, I will die, but the home is permanent. Is the idea? Kya baat hai? So Atma, I am Atma, and Atma will die, and the home is permanent. How wrong it is. So anitya nitya khyati, anitya nitya khyati hi avidya. For Patanjali, he doesn't make big deal about adhyasa, avidya, all this thing. He doesn't make a deal about it. Even Shankara doesn't make a deal about it. He just simply say adhyasam avidyeti vanyante and he moves forward. These tikakaras who come later, they have to make a deal about it. That is how it thrives. Anyway, everybody has something to contribute. That is how Vedanta moves forward. The Vedanta moves forward. So, anitya nitya khyatihi, ashuchau shuchi khyatihi, he says. This is very important for yoga people. So, because for yoga people, body is ashuchi for them. That is yoga. Body is ashuchi. They define it like that. Whereas, the sophisticated and civilized people, for them, body is a shuchi. The hygiene it is. It is all shuchi. Body is shuchi. How body can be shuchi? Never. That is not correct, you know. You keep hygienic, that is okay. But the notion that body is shuchi is a wrong notion. We are converting the body into an altar. This mistake happens in our lives. Already it happened. Only thing is we call that as altar. But in real terms, the body is the altar. Because we worship it. Early morning get up, and next night blow coffee, tea, all kinds of, then begins till the bed. Bed time also, I take one cup of milk just before going to bed. So like this whole day, then take bath. Take bath means what? So suppose Bhagavan has to take bath, then altar, you know. So the bathroom should be very sophisticated, most modern, different. So our bathroom is like that. Then cleaning, you need soap. Soap is what? Some benzene, sulfonic acid, sodium salt. That is what soap is. But it cannot be like that. Soap is dove it is. Dove means that a bird dove, it is so beautiful to look at. And if you touch it, soft. This is dove. And fragrant. And soft to touch. Which is bad for the body in any case. So, body is the altar. Deha puja kahavaya. We say we worship God and all that. Just to keep God in some corner and for half an hour you do something about it, mumble a few words and be done with it. And then worship this altar. So, suppose you have to sit. Then have softest here, softest back, soft here, soft here. Body is the altar. Whereas a yoga guy is never like that. For a yoga person, he sits on hard surface. He sits cross-legged. He sits like this, khadak, by thai. This is the yoga person. For him, body is not, and he does a neti. Neti, you know, jala neti. Ashuti it is. Put water from here and take out here. Then he sutra neti. A kind of rough sutra. Rough, it should be rough. It cannot be soft. Rough sutra he puts and take out. And then he does a shankha prakshalanam. Very tough thing it is. Body is as it is. And he has, Patanjali says it. And he has something more to say. Ashuchau shuchikhyati. So body is ashuchi and you take it as shuchi. This is avidya. Because what happens, once you understand body is ashuchi, then you want to know the shuchi, which is atma. Shuchi is atma, not body. Therefore, as long as you take body to be shuchi and look at it as an altar and cater the whole day, cater to the needs of the body and add mind also, so long you will not come to know the truth of Atma. Asuchau suchi khyati hi. Anitya asuchi. Dukkha. Dukkhe sukha khyati hi. My standard example is going to a party and having a 5-course dinner. Is it dukkham or sukham? Stay at home. 31st, in your terms I saw an article. 31st December, stay at home. This is what he wrote. One psychologist wrote. Last year, New York Times, 31st December, you take it and see this article, it is there. It is there, I read it and I quoted in the class also. So he says, you stay at home, wife and children, all of you stay at home and invite a friend, friend or friend's family. Now you have a nice group. Stay together, talk together, watch some movie together and have nice simple food and disperse by 10 and go to bed. Which is sukham and which is dukham? Whereas people consider wasting time, energy, money, eating excessively, all this is considered sukham. It is all dukham. Dukhe sukha khyatihi. Now I ask you, a person has $1 million. Now he wants to make 2 million. This another million, is it dukkham or sukham? It is dukkham. But they take it as sukham. So recently, a millionaire met me. A millionaire or maybe multi-millionaire met me. And so he asked me a few questions. And he has a project, he told me. And asked my opinion. And asked me, is it dukkham or sukham? That kind of a question he asked. I told him it is dukkham. He was unhappy that I said it is dukkham. Then I told him, please don't mind, I am a sadhu, I have to tell what I feel. I cannot play that kind of a trick. I consider it is dukkham. And what you are planning is not going to do any good for India. This is all in your mind, you think about it. I am playing the devil's advocate, please don't mind. Like that I made him feel comfortable to the extent possible. Therefore people have all wrong notions. Dukkha sukhatyatihi. Anitya asuchi. Dukkha anatmasu atmakhyarehi. Patanjit. Anatma, body is anatma. Mind is anatma. And you end up taking it as atma. Therefore, that is avidya. That is the definition of Patanjali's avidya. Sutram. And Shankara, wherever he uses the word avidya, he has that in mind. It looks like that because he brings those elements into his usage of the word avidya. Therefore, that is obvious here. Avidya iti manyante.
Then he also brings Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhava.
Always he says it. Always he says Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhava. So in a way, negating all that abhyasa, he always points out. తద్వివేకేన చ వస్తు స్వరూపావధారణం విద్యామాహుః. దిస్ ఐ విల్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఎ కప్ ఆఫ్ కాఫీ.